Today on Lake Exploration Bay Area, our guest is Elaine Jackson from the California Native Plants Society of the East Bay and also Friends of Alhambra Creek. She's going to talk about how to include native plants in a suburban yard in the East Bay. And we're going to do that by exploring a specific example, to wit, my daughter Sandy's yard in Martinez. I think you're going to enjoy this wide-ranging discussion by two people who know the Latin names of plants. And they're also going to name the five prettiest native plants that grow in the East Bay. Toward the end of the episode, there'll be a discussion of resources that you can use to help incorporate native plants into your garden. And I'll post links to those things and photos on the website. And as a special bonus, you'll get to hear from my elusive co-host, Christy. So, enjoy.
Welcome to Lake Exploration Bay Area. Climate change. We look at it up, down, and sideways. We follow the links between climate change and so many other issues, and all of it with a local twist.
Hi, this is Jean Rosenmeyer. Welcome to Lake Exploration, and today we're going to talk about native plants in your garden. This is a personal project of mine. I'm at my daughter Sandy's house in Martinez, and we are going to talk about native plants, and specifically for Contra Costa, which kind of gets short shrift a lot of times. And I'm here with Elaine Jackson from the California Native Plant Society. Welcome, Elaine.
And Friends of Alhambra Creek.
And Friends of Alhambra Creek.
So one of the first things that I noticed after walking through this huge, huge, huge yard is that there is a rhododendron in the corner.
Yes, we've noticed that too.
And that's one of the things that Friends of Alhambra Creek is going to be tackling in our creek this coming year.
Well, I'm making this my personal project in Sandy's yard to get rid of the Arundo in the back
corner there.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Sandy says amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sandy has a quarter acre. This is a pretty good size yard for this neck of the woods.
And you have
Bermuda grass
everywhere. That was our first question.
That's why
is
you got all this black.
Yes,
down.
This is the attempt at occultation.
I looked up on UC Agriculture and Natural Resources Extension, and there's this invasive, I can't remember the, but about Bermuda grass management. They have specific guidelines of how to manage it as a very invasive and pernicious weed. And it's very depressing reading. It says you dig it out or you spend 5 years spraying and digging it out, and you can try occultation or solarization's the other one, but you still end up spraying and digging it out.
Occultation being?
Occultation is
exactly
this
what
method
you got here, this
where
black cloth over it.
Yeah, you're supposed to use black polyethylene plastic, which I breaks use this instead. Yeah, it breaks down horribly.
So this
horribly.
Is much better.
This is better. Yeah. And then you seal
what
it.
What is this?
This is just landscape fabric. This is hardcore landscape fabric for weed stop and such. Just kind of heavy duty. And then you put it down through like the summer, and you're supposed to seal all the edges so it can't breathe either. We had medium success on that.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
But
so. And then you lay it down there for a long time. This has been down for a year and a half.
Oh, you just leave it. No, yeah. I know. I mean, you don't want to leave it.
I'm scared to pull it up because as soon as you pull it up.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, it's there. Bermuda doesn't care.
It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Yeah. It'll really be happy.
Yeah.
Well, I want to meadowscape it and put the California native grasses around.
Well,
but that's the whole point.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's going to be real, real, real tough.
So the idea of meadowscaping, could you talk about what that is?
Meadowscaping is instead of getting like a monoculture, like a cultivar of like one grass or three different grasses, most of which are not native to the region, so like Kentucky bluegrass and that kind of stuff. Instead, you do native grasses to your area as a meadow of some sort might be. So I'm more attracted to doing like a wildflower, California native wildflower sort of meadow deal back here, because this is the orchard section of the yard. But you can do low grow California native grasses, and they've got some cultivars that are really water efficient as well.
You may want to stay away from the cultivars.
Yeah.
Just stick with your local native grasses and forbs, just like what you said.
Mm-hmm. What's a forb?
It'd be like your poppies and clarkias and things like that.
Would that keep the Bermuda grass away?
No. Nothing will until you dig it out and replace it with fresh soil or spray it for years and years and years. It's almost impossible to get rid of.
So going from here to there, what should we do?
Raise beds. But I know you don't want to do that.
So the strategy thus far, if you have just a normal lawn, it's not too hard to get some ram board, sheet mulch it, put some stuff on top and use that and just drown the stuff below and you'll do okay, which is probably essentially what I'm thinking of doing back here and hoping.
What are you thinking of doing back here?
So we'll pull up all the fabric and put down at least one layer of cardboard. You can get compressed rolls of cardboard that are like 100 feet long ram board. That's what I did in the front yard on those natives. That was native soil that had that was not quite as bad as this, but that's what it was. And then you put topsoil on top of your ram board, and that's where you plant. And then it gives you a reprieve and holds it back for a while.
For a bit. But it's still there.
And it in the front as well, because that was the strategy of the front yard that I did. Because I dug that driveway that still has landscape fabric out. I took that soil and just kind of flopped it over, tilled it, which you're not supposed to do for Bermuda grass, but I didn't know better. At the time.
It really likes tilling.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It spreads
it likes
everywhere.
Tilling.
All those little pieces just grow. Just cut me up.
So if you've got Bermuda grass, you dig up the soil and you throw it away.
Yeah.
You could spray it and put a bunch of stuff on it and then import 10,000 square feet of soil on top of it.
Right, if you have $1 million,
yeah,
you could
you
do
have
it.
A lot of money.
If you do it, you could do it easy if you have $1 million.
So could we take up, this little section of the landscape cloth and Elaine?
Certainly, you could take sections and dig it out.
I mean, usually you're not doing it for a quarter acre.
No.
This is where the size of the yard becomes a problem for me. A smaller yard, you can rent a sod cutter from any given Home Depot, Lowe's, Big Box, whatever.
What is a sod cutter?
It cuts sod.
Well, but how does that get rid of the soil?
Well, it cuts it, but that may not be deep enough. Mm-hmm.
That's the
problem. So you get the sod cutter, which would take the top layer off, but you're still going to need another foot to cut.
Another foot?
You're gonna see those roots. You keep on looking and looking for those roots, and when they stop, then you can stop.
Yeah. DCAMR says you need at least 8 inches.
Yeah.
Of topsoil.
But that would be the first layer would be a sod cutter. Yeah. That would actually...
And most sod cutters only go down 3 inches. And to answer your question, they're basically like lawnmowers, except they mow sod. They'll take off the top 3 inches
of
wherever you run them. Yeah, and they shave it off.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually. We did that down at our Marina Test Garden because we wanted to get rid of some of the native saltgrass because it was so invasive. And that lasted for about... 8 months, and then it's all back again.
I think if I sod cut and put down 2 layers of ram board and then put topsoil on top, I think that's my best bet.
Yeah, I think so.
Happy to hear you say that because I've just made this up from trying to research things.
You and I are just thinking right now because we're working on each other's ideas. But certainly you would do a section at a time. And who cares if it takes you 20 years? You're going to be successful if you do a section at a time. Why try to do the whole thing and not have any success whatsoever? Yeah. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely agree with you on that. And you plant your grasses, either get plugs or, whatever you can afford.
Yeah, that's the other question.
What is the best?
You can grow your own.
Yeah.
If you had the time.
That's the best?
Well, it takes a while.
The best is sod, because you can get native sod.
You can.
What's wrong with
not
them?
Of a wildflower meadow, which I think is...
No, it would be sod. It would be native sod that takes less water. But it would be not really a meadow that I don't think...
Right, back here, the area around, for the listeners of the podcast, there's a front area that's closer to my house where there's a raised garden and a gravel bed and an arch for the squashes to climb and all this stuff. So that's an area where I'd love to have grass, like a lawn type deal. I've got dogs. Oh. And we're in a back area that's a little bit removed from the house where there's 8 different fruit trees, kind of what we more think of as the California native hill sort of, and the orchard.
Right.
So Back here, I'm more in a meadow mind, and up closer to the house, more of California native grasses. Southside. Been looking at Delta Bluegrass, yes. is a company that yes. my friend in Livermore, who is on their tour of native gardens in Livermore.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so yes. they did that. So now I'm picking their brains.
Which is something I just want to say is pick brains. Mm-hmm. Of actual people.
Yeah.
Websites are great, but there's no substitute for people who have right. been there, done that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, Elaine, what is the best thing to do to attract pollinators if we're going to do it?
A lot of forbs and a lot of native grasses. Yeah. You want your clarkias, your milkweeds, but you also want yampa.
What is pretty yampa?
Yampa, Y-A-M-P-H. I wanted to make sure you knew that.
No,
that's for the swallowtail butterfly. Everybody talks about milkweed, but there's a lot of other plants that attract other butterflies that you want to add to your garden
okay.
also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like yampa?
Yeah, it's Peridia calogia.
Peridia calogia.
Yeah, calogia.
Is attractive for the anise swallowtail.
Right.
Paradiridia californica.
You want calogia. Okay. Is native here nursery.
Calogia.
So native here nursery is a good place to start. You won't get everything there, but you'll get everything that's local to Contra Costa County.
That would be great.
Yeah.
My friends actually in Livermore, they were talking about how hyper-local they've gotten, and I'm very basic compared to them, because this is all... This is UC Master Gardener,
yes.
Arboretum All-Stars.
And that's perfectly
yeah.
fine. Wonderful.
UC Master Gardener...
Arboretum All-Stars. So UC Davis maintains an arboretum, and they have a whole organization of gardeners that cultivate. They do plant sales themselves
yeah.
with the nice. Emphasis of California natives. And
then, these are all-star plants?
Yeah, so they have a list of plants on their website and some designs that you can steal, which I did and translated to the hill, of plants that I thought were all native. They're not, but they are all Mediterranean.
So Calscape has the same thing.
Yeah, and Calscape okay. has the okay. same thing as
well. But it's all native.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all native, yeah. which would be, I had a bias towards Davis because they're my alma mater. But they're all plants that are super tough, take no yeah. water hardly right. at all, and right. are almost guaranteed to grow.
Right.
This hill is not irrigated except for the fruit trees.
Yeah, yeah, all these guys.
No irrigation at all?
None. There's a lot of daisies and a lot of lavender.
Yeah.
Tons of sage. Everybody loves sage. 8 million kinds of sage because it's California. And I love rosemary, so that's there. I've got some mule and red grass. That's there.
Elaine, I know your motto is if you don't have a plot, you have a pot. How much space do you need to make a native garden count for something?
You don't need any space, just a few pots. And I'm not the only one that says that.
But how do the, you know, birds and insects and stuff find?
Eventually, they find their way. You just have to be patient and don't have a lot of, well, like if you had a lot of cats and dogs and stuff like that, that might make a little difference. I mean, if you had a cat sitting next to your pot, you may not get a bird, you know.
Yeah, that's probably.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
This hill is all heavy pollinators because I'm cultivating a suburban orchard, so I wanted all the pollinators I could get. Mm-hmm. So these are all pollinator heavy.
So the pollinators come and they, hey, as long as they're here, they pollinate your fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. That's what they're all about. That's why you have the mix of plants and fruit trees, and you always want to bring in your pollinators.
What's the best to bring in pollinators?
Well, any native plant local to the area is the best because your local insects will find your local plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't find them, then secondary would be the ones that they can live off of, you know, that they can survive. Insects will go anywhere where they can find a decent meal, but they prefer their local plants.
So and I'm just going to put in a plug for Native Here, which you've already done,
yeah.
because they sell hyper-local. Like,
right.
this
now
is the slopes of Mount of Diablo. This one is from
right.
Orinda.
Right.
I mean,
this
really.
Is from Martinez.
Yeah, exactly.
But you need to, you know, sometimes widen that, which I totally understand. The watershed is a really good one, too.
If
yeah,
I used a little bit of, like, in the front yard, I planted a bunch of yarrow, and it was a mix of I wanted colors of yarrow versus like the Killia millifolium that's just like the white yarrow. None of them are that happy, actually. So
I don't care.
I don't really like it that much.
I don't. I don't know why anybody would want to buy a cultivar.
Tell us what a cultivar is.
It's a human intervention into a plant. So this human wants a pink. So, okay, I'll manipulate it for pink. Not asking the insects what they want. Or I want it to bloom longer, but that screws up the whole biological trip. You know?
So I'm at a nursery looking for plants. How do I know what's a cultivar?
If it has like Susie Q or pinky pop or...
I'll give you a direct example. Paprika, yarrow. So yarrow and the native cultivar is white, right? Like our native, yeah. So, and I wanted more than white. So I was like, let's get some paprika. And there was a pumpkin one in colors. I think only the golden one lived. Everything else died. And frankly, I don't like, these aren't that pretty. But, you know,
Elaine's laughing at you.
But like as a suburban, like you're landscaping your yard, you want it to be pretty. Like that's just part of the life. And so the nurseries will try and cater to that where they're like, hey, we want some color. Because a lot of California natives are not traditionally pretty, shall we say. And the downside is that especially some of the really local pollinators and the really local little guys, sometimes they won't recognize the cultivars if they're funny colors. Mm-hmm. And sometimes...
And the growing season.
Yep. And the growing season can get changed and stuff like that. So knowing that and having talked to CNPS about that, I was like, oh, my color. They went for it anyway. Shame
it's
on me.
Your garden.
Yeah.
So,
but eyes are open.
But let me ask, give me the five prettiest native plants that we could plant here in Martinez.
Salvia mellifera. Yeah.
Salvia mellifera.
Black sage.
Gotcha.
And Salvia leucophylla. That's
another sage.
Yeah, another sage. And then chamise.
I have like three.
Chamise.
Yeah, chamise. The botanical name is Adenostoma. That's what it is. Adenostoma is chamise.
How about the native roses? Are they pretty?
Oh, they're beautiful. Yes. Rosa californica actually would work back here.
Can it grow down here?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It has a tendency to take over.
Everything.
Yeah. So you have to kind of watch it. But in the back area fence, I don't see why you wouldn't want it. Just try it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Fair.
Well, you know, this
or
is...
four.
This is my favorite book right here. If you want to take a picture of this book, I highly recommend you get it. And CNPS is now carrying it on their website.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
it's called Growing California Native Plants by Marjorie Schmidt and Catherine Greenberg. We'll put that on the website.
So, oh, good. So Marjorie Schmidt did the original one, and it was very wonderful, very detailed, but very dry. No pictures, no nothing. So Catherine, who lives in Lafayette, this is her garden. So she has pictures of her garden. So she updated it with more photos. And in the back, it has meadows, dry meadows, wet meadows. So these are some of these. Yeah. So these are some of your local grasses.
Oh, look at the fescue.
Yeah. But some of these aren't local. But I just marked off the local ones. Mm-hmm. And then Carex progressalis is a really good kind of a...
Oh, yeah. Carex grass.
It's actually... People do mow this.
Yeah. I've seen it in some of the mixes.
Yeah. So Hedgerow Farms, mm-hmm. You're familiar with that place?
I don't know that one.
Hedgerow Farms?
They have a field day at Hedgerow Farms every year, and I think we chatted about that. And I highly suggest you go. Okay. It's usually, the fella that started Hedgerow passed away, unfortunately. So there's new people and they're doing it a little differently. They used to sell plugs. They don't sell plugs anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, on and on and on. And it goes back and forth and whatever. So who knows what's going to happen this year. But the field day is always a tremendous, a lot of fun. You see fields of forbs and fields of native grasses. I mean, that's all they have. That's what they grow. And they sell seeds in bulk. Oh. But highly recommend this book for sure. And this is another one that's going to be, it's online. It's Annotated Checklist of California.
Annotated Checklist of the East Bay Flora.
Right. So if you want to know if you're looking at something local,
you
look up here.
Hey, this is so cool.
I brought this library thing because it was an accident. So this is divided up into different regions, and we're kind of like in here.
Different regions of Alameda and Contra Costa County, by the way.
Yeah. And so we're kind of in here, and I usually kind of go over a little bit, and then you can just look it up. And it's on the CNPS East Bay chapter.
Okay.
Because that's a publication for the East Bay chapter.
Okay.
And it's going to be updated. This is the second edition. It's kind of old.
So nice.
But it'll be updated before the end of the year.
This is the Annotated Checklist of the East Bay Flora.
Wonderful.
Native and naturalized vascular plants of Alameda and Contra Costa Counties, California, by Barbara Erder and Lech Nomovich.
Yes.
I'll put something about that on the website.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And then, of course, our Alhambra Native Plant Trail. This has all the native here nursery, watershed, Oaktown, East Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And then your seed sources, which
is iffy about hedgerow.
My friends use a lot of Larner there in Livermore.
It's a wonderful place.
Yeah,
it's
a lot of Larner. Place. Yeah.
In Bolinas.
And here's some really good websites, and I just thought I'd see if you would like to have it. And, of course, I always plug Friends of Wilhelmer Creek. We always have something going on.
For listeners, too, one of the guides that I used, because I'm basic and not, I'm just trying to make my house pretty. There is a program called Bloom California that has a website, and there's a bunch of different nurseries that are part of it. And it is intending specifically for suburban everydayers to try and use, instead of tropical plants for landscaping, they're trying to use California natives to some fashion.
Great.
So they have a great website, which is just bloomcalifornia.org. And they even have plans and designs. So if you wanted to do, like I did, the welcoming entry for my front yard, you can do that. And they have other examples. And
they have an example of just, you have
An example of pots of California natives that you guys were talking about, where you put in some pollinators to be a pot, like on your front porch, and it looks great.
We're gonna have to do that.
So,
and they have strips as well, right?
Yeah, and they have swales, just like a ditch.
Like a ditch like you have back there.
Yeah, like that.
When it rains.
And it's really helpful. And then it has some information that you can do nursery locators, other resources. I do believe CNPS is on here and some other guys. But it's very accessible to someone just doing a Google. There's your Clarkia and your other stuff. It'll profile all of them. It takes you through the oaks, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
That's a nice resource. At least that was my entry into it.
Yeah.
The starter, because it's just very approachable, you know. Colors, not a lot of words. It's good.
Okay. That brings me to, this is my own personal thing, love irises. Is there a California native iris?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
In fact, native here's got a whole shitload ready now. Right now.
Yeah!
Come on and get them.
Which is open Saturday mornings, by the way.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've seen them growing in the Presidio. They grow out here in the East Bay?
They do. Basically, where I've seen them mostly actually is in Solano County at one of the hikes we do. And they have a whole area where they have iris that are growing beautifully under some lovely trees. But we've seen them here, too. I just can't think of where exactly. Okay. But shady areas. And they're
so they need a little shade.
A little shade.
What is that?
Fuchsia.
Well, that's pretty.
Epilobium.
Yes, doesn't that get to be one of the five prettiest?
Yes, it is. I didn't quite finish. I was still thinking. But I have to think.
California fuchsia.
I have so many, that, you know, and they're not all local.
I am unclear when I should try and Meadowscape. Like,
what time of year you mean?
Yeah. Should I try now? Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. So I need to do it now.
Yeah. Before it starts raining?
Well, it started.
Yeah, like now.
It started.
Fall. Usually. Yeah. Yeah. But I just wanted to make sure that was the time.
Yeah.
To answer, Christy, your last question, in terms of how big a pollinator patch or like how much you need, they do want you, at least I've read, to have like a meter squared is the smallest useful space, is what I've read about it. I'm not sure if that's totally true, but as opposed to having
Ideally, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you had a pot, that would be fine.
Yeah, if you had a pot, I think that would be fine. But when they're talking...
But there's always ideally.
Or if you had three pots, that would be a meter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
not that big.
No.
That's meaning true. That clumps are more useful than one here, one there.
Cluster your pots together.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, exactly.
A square meter's worth of pots.
There we go.
Perfect. Not that big.
Okay, Elaine, is there anything else that our listeners want to know?
I think Sandy has done her homework big time.
I'm
big
impressed.
Time. This is such a wonderful project. Yes.
The fight against invasives and weeds.
Yeah, it's huge.
I have never been so ready to use chemical warfare.
I know it's bad.
That's a question.
Just like you have your favorite non-natives,
there's
always a balance. And if anything, if it's used correctly,
right,
then it's okay.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And you don't spray it all over the neighborhood.
No,
the Arundo. You're gonna paint it.
Oh, I hate that Arundo.
It's gonna be more than one person job. Cut it, paint it. You don't just cut it.
You don't pull the roots out?
Oh, well.
You can.
Good luck.
Like 15
good luck.
Yeah.
Oh.
They can't get tractors
so
to pull
cut
the roots
it
out.
And you spray that Roundup.
Paint it.
It
would be better. Unless you had a really tiny little nozzle that would just touch it. You don't want to spray. especially okay. back here.
Okay.
So fair. I love that.
Say it again, Sam. Okay. Four rules for this yard.
Four rules for the yard. So you're either a California native or you're super water wise. So a UC Davis Arboretum All-Star, Mediterranean, something like that. Or you make me food or you're a rose because I love roses.
And I can't think of a better place to end this episode. Our thanks to Elaine Jackson for once again being generous with her time, and to my daughter Sandy for sharing her wisdom and her yard. Check out our website for links to the resources and photos of plants and the yard. We'll be taking some time off for the holidays and to deal with some family issues, but we'll be back exploring the Bay Area next year. Thanks for joining us, and see you then.
Exploration Bay Area is an independent podcast. You can find photos, show notes, and our archives on our website at linkspiration.com. You can email us at linkspiration@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. This is Jean and Christy signing off. Until next time.